This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Science and logic do their best to tell me how, but they fail at telling me why. I need someone bigger, someone that loves me, to talk to me. Let's go. Let love float and bring the dead to life. A love so bold to see a revolution somehow. My hands are ready. My feet are ready. My heart is ready. Let's go. Let love explode and bring the dead to life. A love so bold to see a revolution somehow. Now I'm lost in your freedom. God's not dead, he's surely alive. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. God's not dead, he's surely alive. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. Roaring, roaring, he's roaring.
Roaring, roaring like a lion.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Let hope arise and make the darkness hide.
Hallelujah.
My faith is dead. I need a resurrection somehow. But I'm lost in your freedom. And this world I've overcome. My God's not dead. He's surely alive. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. God's not dead. He's surely alive. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion.
Roaring,
he's roaring.
Roaring, roaring like a lion.
Yeah.
Roaring, he's roaring.
And the fire fall.
Father, come shake the ground.
A revival.
One more time.
We need your fire.
Cause our hearts are cold.
Shake the ground.
We need you now.
Sing that one more time.
If we ever needed you before,
this world needs you now.
Shake this ground.
He's surely alive. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. God's not dead. He's surely alive. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion.
He's surely alive. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. God's not dead. He's surely alive.
Come out of great tribulation, and they have washed their robes,
and made them white in the blood of the Lamb forevermore.
Bill Martinez, live.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
See why our homegrown small business at sunny-bay.com has tried to help people just like you. Get your Sunny Bay heating pads at sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com. Or call 253-678-1361. For hot and cold therapy, sunny-bay.com.
Hey, millennials, know what you believe and why. Bill Martinez, live. Martinez Watch. You roar like a lion. You bled as a lamb. You carry my healing in your hands. God, you are on the waters. You speak to the sea. You stand in the fire beside me.
We're back with the America 6 minutes after the top of the hour. It's always great to have you along with us. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Eddie Skerritt joins us now. Reports on media for the Washington Examiner, previously covered media and politics for Mediate.com. His writing has also appeared in the New York Post, The Real Clear Politics, and Adweek. Eddie, how you doing?
I'm good. Happy to be here.
Hey, boy, I'll tell you, it's been an exciting time for you with the release of your new book, Fraud and Fiction. Congratulations. We're going to do everything we can on our end to promote the book because it is a counter to Fire and Fury, is it not?
Yes, and it's actually very, very good.
Yeah, if you might say yourself, right?
Exactly.
Well, I love this because even on the dedication, I love the dedication. You say, dedicated to the national media's burning and undying hatred for President Trump, without which this book would not have been possible.
Right, and if it weren't for the media, I don't think I'd have a job, so I'm always grateful.
Well, you got to have that point-counterpoint. There's no doubt about it. I mean, this is why I do what I do. I mean, we're both of us, and I think this is why we get along so well, is we're both pursuing the truth, no matter where it leads, and we're fortunate enough to be in a position where we can do that. Some people just do not have that opportunity. They're so controlled by their editors and, you know, their institutions that they're not allowed to pursue the truth like you and I do.
Oh, sure. Yeah, exactly. And that's why the Washington Examiner's been very good.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. So, Fraud and Fiction, the new book, The Real Truth Behind Fire and Fury. Right off the bat, you lay out, you know, Michael Wolff's background, the good, the bad, the ugly, and all in one chapter, right?
Yeah, and so, you know, the reason for this book is because, you know, we went through what was basically a crisis for the White House, a crisis for the country. We had people wondering whether the President of the United States was mentally incapacitated in some way. And that's all because of not just because of Michael Wolff's book, but because of the national media turning it into a crisis. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm covering in my book. I'm covering both of those things. But we do go one by one from the most, you know, sensational, biggest claims in Michael Wolff's book, all of which are untrue, down to the serial inaccuracies. We document them very extensively. And then at the same time, it is a critique of the national media and the role they played in turning this book into what it became.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, it came and it went. But in its wake, it did leave, you know, people a bit confused, Eddie, because of the outlandish claims that were made. And I guess for those people that already have a perception of Trump hatred, this kind of just filled that cup all the more for them. And the mainstream media almost, it almost seems like they got away with, you know, promoting this this big lie, and then they wonder why they're referred to as fake news and why their credibility is dwindling.
Right. That was a point that I made in Fraud and Fiction over and over again, was that much of what's even in Michael Wolff's book, especially the claims about the president's mental health, which were refuted fully by his doctor spending an hour answering questions by reporters about it. But that was not new with Michael Wolff's book. Morning Joe spends about 3 hours daily talking about that. Even well before President Trump was elected, they did this through the campaign. David Brooke does it about twice per week in his New York Times column. He's not a psychiatrist, psychologist, anything, a therapist, anything. And yet he was diagnosing the president with narcissism, any number of mental disorders you can find in the book. But, you know, when the book came out, because Wolf said that he, mostly because there was an interview with Steve Bannon in there, or several interviews, that kind of gave it the credibility that many in the national media needed to say, oh, look, it's true. Everything saying all along is true. But, you know, I point out over and over again, if this were true, we would have seen actual signs of it, and not just Trump saying the things that the media hates to hear. But, you know, he would give hour-long press conferences. It seemed to be a very sharp, very capable human, answering all those questions, going through it. So that's just, again, one of many claims we're dealing with in Fraud and Fiction.
Yeah, the thing amazes me still is Steve Bannon. He should have known better. Michael Wolff comes with a reputation, right? I mean, he's not loaded with all kinds of credibility walking through the White House door like that, right?
Right, yeah, and that's something that I really could not quite get to the heart of, was, and I acknowledge that in my book, was that Steve Bannon was doing things throughout his time in the White House that contradicted what he had been working for. His website at Breitbart, they had been backing Trump the whole way on pretty much every single issue. And then when he gets in the White House, he completely undermines the president in one or two interviews. Two interviews you have him going and talking to Michael Wolff. The president, he told me that, you know, Michael Wolff didn't have any access to him, the president. He was like, and we had no idea that Steve Bannon was going and talking with Michael Wolff this whole time. But not only that, there was that interview, and I think it was, what was that magazine, National Affairs or National Interest, something like that, where he completely undermined the president's agenda on North Korea and China. So I do acknowledge he did some very weird things. I still don't know why. But yes, that is something that's in the book. And I think if it weren't for Steve Bannon, much of the book would have been ignored.
Yeah, and I want to reinforce what you just said, and that is that in a conversation, you actually talked with the president, and he told you flat out he never met with Wolff, and he didn't even know, I guess for all intent and purposes, that Steve Bannon was doing interviews with Wolff.
Right, and the president, he called right after the news broke of my book coming out. So this was about, I think, 3 weeks ago. He called just to basically say what he had said before. He said that Michael Wolff had no access to him. He called the book a fraud. He said it was a con. He again acknowledged that Steve Bannon had been talking with Michael Wolff, though he says that nobody in the White House knew that. And he also reiterated that he might still sue, Michael Wolff. I don't know that I see that really going anywhere, but he did say it. Exactly. He did say all those things.
Eddie, what's that like for you as a reporter? I mean, it's not like you get daily phone calls from the president, but, you know, you get a call from the president. What's that like for you?
It was kind of surreal, to be honest, because when the news broke, I was excited to see that, you know, people were talking about the book, and then suddenly the White House calls and says the president's on the line and would like to speak with you. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, for my first book, that's pretty great.
Yeah.
And we did. We talked for about 8 minutes, and he continued talking about the media. He said he didn't like the press coverage he's been getting, particularly from CNN, and he didn't like the media coverage he got after he made the announcement about North Korea that he was going to hopefully meet with Kim Jong-un. And then he, you know, kind of touted his what he believed are his accomplishments for his administration. But I told him, I said, maybe you'll get around to tweeting about Fraud and Fiction.
Yeah, we can hope so, right? Well, we're talking with Eddie Scarry, his brand new book, Fraud and Fiction, The Real Truth Behind Fire and Fury. We're going to get into those incredible claims that were made in the book that he is refuting, Michael Wolff's book. So stay with us. We've got more coming up from Eddie Scarry right after this.
Face it, today's electric power grid is more vulnerable than ever. From natural disasters to EMP attacks and hacking, the grid could be crippled for days or even decades in the most dire scenarios. Visit quantumharvest.net to see our built-to-last EMP-protected solar power systems. While millions suffer, you'll have vital power for water pumps, refrigeration, and sanitation. Now that's peace of mind. EMP-protected solar power systems for every need and budget. See our full range at quantumharvest.net.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size for incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency. Get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Age-related macular degeneration is the leading cause of blindness in people over 55, but with treatment it can be slowed down, stopped, and in some cases reversed. Make sure you see your grandchildren grow. Protect your vision by requesting information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD, or go to the website fightblindness.org, where I found so much helpful information, or again, call 1-800-BLINDNESS today.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Lower taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez live.
Back with you, America. Bill Martinez here. Eddie Scarry is with us. Eddie, of course, is the media reporter at the Washington Examiner based in Washington, D.C., and he has released his new book, his first one, Fraud and Fiction. I mean, pretty awesome, Eddie. You think your first book, you know, the president calls you? I mean, what next big leader of the universe do you want to write a book about and get a phone call from?
We'll have to see. Hopefully it's sooner than later. Though I do want your listeners to know that they can very easily get the book. They can get it like as an e-book, or they can get the paperback. They just have to go to Amazon.com, search for Fraud and Fiction, or they can search for My Name, Eddie Scary.
Well, congratulations for your first book. I know when I've spoken with other authors, you know, you write that first book, and the next thing you know, there's a dozen more coming. Do you see that down the road?
Yeah, I have actually already heard about a possible book that a publisher wants to do. I haven't agreed to anything. We'll have to see. But definitely, I do want to get into something else, but let's just get through this one first.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, we're on a tour right now, and I'm sure that, of course, institutions like ours, independent that we are, will give you plenty of platform to talk about your book, but the mainstream media, I'm sure, is choking on this.
Yeah, I think someone was just asking me, do you think you're going to get any big interviews on, say, like CNN or CBS? And I think that the book is a little bit too hard on them to be invited on their programs. And also, I think so much of the media was invested in the claims in Michael Wolff's book that they to completely go back now and say, maybe these weren't exactly right. I don't foresee that happening. Though I did Fox News yesterday. I'm doing radios with guys like you, and I have another local Fox interview later tonight, so it's all going well.
Well, we'll keep spreading the word on your behalf. I mean, we expect the mainstream media to shun you because it's quite the indictment. I mean, it mirrors back, their foibles. I mean, they went in full-fledged into this Michael Wolff opinion piece, and they tried to present it as news, which I think is most unfortunate. It breaks all boundaries of true professional journalism, does it not?
Yeah, the book is... covers the whole media landscape, but there is an entire chapter dedicated to Morning Joe on MSNBC because just you kind of saw the rise and fall of Michael Wolff in his book just watching their show for about 2 months. You had them for days talking about how, you know, they kept saying the book rings true, even if certain bits of it can't corroborate it rings true. It's not until about 2 months later when the bit in the book about Nikki Haley having an affair with the president that they bring him on. They say, okay, we're going to hang up the entire credibility of your book on this one question. And then they kick him off the show, but because he lied about it. He said, well, I never really said that, though he did say it.
Right.
But the thing is that they kick him off the show well after the damage is already done. And that's a theme throughout my book, Fraud and Fiction.
Exactly. Well, let's talk about these big claims that Michael Wolff had made. We already touched on the whole psychiatric analysis, which supposedly was kind of an unwritten rule or an accepted rule anyway, that, you don't diagnose somebody that's not your patient. And, of course, let's not forget there are HIPAA laws that say you cannot openly share information of a patient who has come to you for help. But yet these guys can't help themselves, all in the name of saving the country and having an opinion, which we say in the absence of fact, opinion rules. And that's what seems to be running these institutions, the mainstream media.
Yeah, and that rule that you're talking about is supposed to apply to doctors, psychologists. I suppose that many of the people, the David Brookses of the world, they're not even doctors or psychologists. And yet they took full license to make these claims just based on, I have no idea what, taking one psychology class in college about 2 decades ago.
Right.
So yeah, you saw that over and over again. It became this meme. I mean, to the New York Times credit, they did publish a single op-ed by a guy who's a linguist, an actual linguist, and a professor, I believe, at Columbia University, who was talking about, the way that Trump talks is not a sign of, mental decline. It's just someone who, over the years, has gotten more and more comfortable with who they are.
Exactly. And I
include that in the book, and that was one of the highlights.
Well, maybe Brooks and some of these other knuckleheads, they might get arrested for practicing medicine without a license, and maybe that might clear up some of this landscape, but meanwhile, fake news abounds, and it's up to we the people to be more discerning. Let's talk about the outrageous claims that you went head-to-head with from Michael Wolff's book here, Eddie.
Sure. I mean, just to give you one example, and this is not necessarily Trump-related. Well, it started Trump-related because it was the very first chapter in his book is all about how the Trump campaign was actually campaigning to lose the race. They never wanted to win. It was all just for the purpose of losing, and the idea behind it from Michael Wolff is that Trump was somehow going to come out of this race stronger as a brand. His brand was going to be more profitable, but that's just simply logically not true. The Trump campaign was about the working class people. He's not going to suddenly have all these new people running to the Trump golf courses. They cannot afford to visit the Trump golf courses. So there was going to be no change there. If anything, it was going to hurt his brand. But leading into that, he talked about how Peter Thiel, the tech guy who had endorsed Trump, talked about how he wanted to enter a partnership with Roger Ailes and potentially Trump after the campaign, and they were going to launch some kind of TV network. But I talked to someone who was very, very, very close with Peter Thiel. He said, no, he met with Roger Ailes one time a couple years ago or a few years ago, and came away from it actually thinking Roger Ailes was kind of dumb and would not have been a good business partner. So that was never something that was going to happen, but that's just one of many things in fraud and fiction we're talking about.
Did a lot of fraud and fiction come almost exclusively from Bannon and Michael Wolff's own demented imagination?
Well, we do know that Bannon was the key, I think, to the whole thing. Michael Wolff does say that he was in the White House, sitting there on a couch, I guess, talking, chit-chatting with people as they came and went. But it, even seemed that the president was acknowledging that Steve Bannon was the key to a lot of this. A lot of the things that are in the book came from him, and he says that nobody in the White House knew that Steve Bannon was talking with Michael Wolff over and over again throughout the course of his year or whatever in the office. I would say that's accurate.
Mm-hmm. Now, the bottom line, in Chapter 7, you address Fire and Fury directly, and you just call it out for what it is, that I guess for journalists it would be embarrassing. And really a sloppy work, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And it's in that chapter. There's also an entire chapter that's just about the author's note in Fire and Fury, where Michael Wolff is, I guess, claiming to explain what his source methods were, how he came to decide what was true and what wasn't. But anybody reading that, any professional journalist, including there was one who did a review for it for the New York Times, and was like, I don't understand this. And there's obvious areas where Michael Wolff kind of just wipes his hands of the whole thing and says, well, I don't necessarily know if it's true. That doesn't pass muster would not pass muster in any newsroom. Mm-hmm. He says that we have some on the record, some are off the record that became on the record. He doesn't explain what that means. He says that sometimes he just allows his sources to offer a version of the truth without necessarily knowing himself. In some cases, he determined what was true. It's impossible to get through, impossible to understand. But I think that was kind of meant to create some cover for the very outrageous claims in his book.
Well, is he subject to some sort of some sort of lawsuit for the, some of the statements that he's made? I know you said President Trump was still, considering it.
Yeah, and I don't think that could possibly go anywhere. I'm not a lawyer, but just my experience in the business, I couldn't see a lawsuit like that going anywhere, particularly when you're writing about the most famous person in the world. Mm-hmm. But I think that, the book definitely, and it's possible, you have to see the first version of the book, but there were certain points where I came across as I'm reading, I'm like, I wrote about this in my book, was the supposed conversation that happened between Tony Blair and Jared Kushner that was, Tony Blair sucking up to Jared Kushner because he wanted a White House job. And it's like, why would he be sucking up to him when he's been, Prime Minister of the UK for a decade? I don't know what he needed to be sucking up for. And yet, when Michael Wolff talked about that in his own book, you're reading it, it's pretty outrageous. Then you get to the end where he goes, but it's not clear if Tony Blair, or basically it's not clear if this was hearsay or if it was solid stuff.
Exactly. Well, Eddie, we got to leave it there. I know our audience is looking forward to getting their hands on your book. It is a point counterpoint, a fraud versus the truth, and it's easily discerned. Fraud and Fiction, the Real Truth Behind Fire and Fury. Eddie Scarry on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Eddie. Great job here. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem, and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend
your life with Extendivite. You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Here I am, a soul on fire.
Hey, welcome back. 28 minutes before the top of the hour, Maria Espinoza joins us now, the National Director of the Remembrance Project, which honors and remembers Americans and legal residents who have been killed by illegal aliens. Maria, always good to have you with us. How are you doing?
Oh, thank you so much for having me on again, Bill.
Well, Maria, it is sanctuary state madness that is taking place. And my question is, it seems like California could be the battleground for common sense. What do you think?
Absolutely. And we've known that for a very long time. And, all the Democrats thought that Hillary Clinton was going to win the presidency. And here we are, Donald Trump. And the American people spoke up, and we dodged the bullet. We're trying to stop them, and they just want to forge forward with their, loony liberal policies.
Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, people are, look at men on the street interviews, just anecdotally, is in direct conflict in large numbers, even in areas. If you go into Santa Ana, California, which is dominated by Hispanics, a good number of probably illegals we know are probably residing there. The general consensus, even in Santa Ana, is that this is insane,
yes.
To be a sanctuary city or a state. I mean, to the point now that you've got about 400 sheriffs across the country, calling on Congress to criminalize sanctuary cities.
They absolutely should. It's a long time coming for that to take place. And, Bill, Being Latina, so many people have reached out to me. You know, it was up 3 years ago now, and that's why the Remembrance Project started, our America First Latinos, and you mentioned Santa Ana residents. We, you know, just because we're Latino does not mean that we are for lawlessness. And,
exactly.
You know, rarely is it that we get the microphone, Bill, so I'm not surprised whatsoever by the residents there and Santa Ana speaking up, because they want safe communities and they want to be able to have their children out to and live, work, and play in a safe community. And that's all that President Trump is asking for. And he should, it's a no-brainer, Bill. And
exactly.
And your listeners have to continue reaching out to elected officials all across the United States. Don't worry about your zip code. Evidently, they don't care about borders and support President Trump's First America agenda.
Well, what you point out here, Maria, is what galls me continuously when they try to relate, the progressives are trying to run away with the with Latinos and Latinas and make them appear to be monolithic, like as if they represent.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, Javier Becerra does not represent the Hispanics that I know. They're like the ones that you're talking about that consider this insane, that look at this and go, wait a minute, they don't want their families to be subject. I mean, the reason that they came here from, you know, south of the border around the world was to get away from lawlessness. And now all of a sudden it's like it's pursued them. And they just cannot believe that this is happening in the United States, which is, in their imaginations and their understanding has been the bastion of a rule of law.
Absolutely, Bill. And, you know, here in America, you know, we have rights, we have freedoms and our liberties, and in many other countries, it's not that way. And they know exactly what's coming across that border, and they're screaming for help. And it seems like their own party, and hopefully this shows some of them who might still be Democrats, that come over to this side. And there's work to be done in the Republican Party. I mean, I know I'm not very well received, you know, because I'm pretty normal. Now we're called conservative.
Right. Well, like I told you, when I started doing this radio show over 10 years ago, the powers that be that, put together syndicated shows came to me and they said, Maria, they told me, they said, Bill, we've never heard of a conservative Hispanic before. I said, you got to be kidding me. that's just 10 years ago, you know, so it's all kind of laughable because, the fact of the matter is, whether you're Hispanic, whatever race, you want your kids to have a fair shot at it. You want to have a fair shot at it. And when you have people here not playing by the rules and taking away jobs that belong to our kids that are entry level jobs, I was just talking with a gentleman yesterday and we were talking about, what's happening at, these fast food places. You know, you get these progressives that want to raise the minimum wage to $15. Well, the entry level jobs for our kids now are being taken away and being replaced by robots. Flipping burgers now. And so all this is having an impact on, these entry-level jobs that our kids would otherwise be doing being able to enter into the market to learn how to be, good employees and good citizens and start, having some sort of apprentice program. Now that's being compromised. And what is the progressives' answer for that?
They don't care. They all want us to be honeybees because they think that they're going to be remaining at the top echelon here and telling us what to do. They've got all the money. I'm so glad that you mentioned that because illegal immigration and what's taking place in around our country is exactly what you're talking about. Quick story. My daughter, she's 34 years old now, but in junior high school, they're small.
Maria, you don't look like anybody should have a 34-year-old daughter. My goodness. I'm just saying, if I can say that, with all due respect, I don't. Well, I'm just shocked. Well, okay.
Well, thank you. I got married at 20, then I had a daughter. So in that order, Bill.
Yes.
But, now the high schoolers there can no longer have that little funnel into the local restaurant because it's taken by illegal aliens. They need those lower paying jobs to, like you said, they need to become good citizens and good workers and manage their money. And, it wasn't meant to be to feed a family of four.
Right.
So all this is taken away from our kids, and we can't complain about these teenagers not wanting, or these millennials not wanting to work and want them to play on their computers and all. We did that with our policy, so we have to get back to you know, working America. And my parents made sure that we worked. I grew up working on the Mexican crew, not the student crew, of strawberries. And my dad had a relative as a foreman. So we know good work. We had three restaurants, and we hired all high school kids.
So, I'm telling you, that was my first job. I was 6 years old picking strawberries. I determined at that point, Maria, I don't know if I told you this story or not. I worked for a whole week, made $1.10. I left that $1.10 on top of the TV, and my dad say, "Aren't you going to spend your money?" I said, "No." It was like the anti trophy to tell me that there was no way I was going to be in the fields as a grown citizen, you know, trying to those berries don't fill up those big boxes very quickly. And so I learned that.
You're right. And, you know, you started before I did. I started at 8. Mm-hmm. So you were a lot earlier than I was. Wow, that's great, Bill. So, you know, and, you know, we try to teach our children that. You know, my daughter worked for my friend who's a podiatrist for a dollar. Okay, I paid my friend to pay my daughter.
Yes.
And so she got $50 a week. She actually worked more hours, my daughter, longer than I did. I'd drop her off in the morning. She'd open up the little office. And then I'd go to work. I'd pick her up after school. You know, you do what you can.
Exactly.
And she's a hard worker.
Yeah. Well, we're already co-opting the situation. So whatever ideas you come up with to make sure your kids have an opportunity to get in, you know, into the process, you know, you've got to get a job, you know, somehow and make it work. But the thing is, we have to look at this on many levels, Maria. I mean, you know, like you say, the restaurants, they're being pulled in 50 different directions as well. You know, the regulations, although Donald Trump has gone a long way in eliminating, now we're about for every new regulation, 22 are being eradicated, which is wonderful. Mm-hmm. But we need to go and look at some other things that have been happening. Particularly, you know, like in states like California, where the regulations and the government bureaucracy is problematic in allowing these restaurants to hire young kids, you know, to come in so that, you know, they have an entry-level portal, right?
Absolutely. You know, we're battling the court systems as well, because that's important. And we're not giving up on California. You know, so, you know, I just point everyone to our website, theremembranceproject.org, and ask them to sign that. But we have to continue reaching out to these politicians and recruiting, Bill. We have to keep talking and recruiting people and educating them.
And we have to push back, because if reason is going to win out here, then we need reasonable people unafraid to speak the truth to what insanity is spreading in their state and in other states nearby. Maria Espinosa on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Maria. Take care.
Here's important new information from the Diabetes Solution Center for you, a family member, or a loved one suffering with diabetes. If you have lost your provider, or if you need a provider for diabetic supplies, you may qualify to receive your diabetic testing supplies now with little or no out-of-pocket cost, regardless of your age. All you need is Medicare or private insurance to be potentially eligible. Call the Diabetes Solution Center right now for details. Just takes a couple of minutes. Our friendly, knowledgeable agents will give you free, no-obligation information, handle all the insurance paperwork, and make sure your supplies are delivered directly to your door for free.
Call U.S. Medical Supply 24 hours a day. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. Call right now. 800-597-9323.
Sometimes all it takes is a spark. The spark becomes a flame. It transforms everything around it.
From the creators of the Case for Christ.
All these years, this church has been here. Now it's the crime scene.
The church has brought nothing but controversy to the school for years.
When we are divided,
we cannot respond to hate with more hate.
You don't get to play innocent.
You did this!
We must remember what we stand for.
It's okay to be broken, Dave. It means God's still shaping you.
My God's not dead, he's surely alive. He's living.
In the darkness, we are called to be the light.
How do you define truth exactly?
I believe truth is a person.
This Easter,
as painful and confusing as all of this is, it just might be exactly where God wants you right now.
God's Not Dead, A Light in Darkness, starring David A.R. White and John Corbett. Rated PG, parental guidance suggested. Now playing. Go to godsnotdead.com.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Bill Martinez live.
Science and logic do their best to tell me how, but they fail at telling me why. I need someone bigger, someone that loves me, to talk to me. Let's go.
My God's not dead, he's surely alive. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. God's not dead, he's surely alive. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. Shake the ground.
Shake the ground. The sound.
A revival.
Revival.
Say it one more time. We need your fire.
I'll tell you, Bob Walaszewski, you know, I hear this song, Kirk Franklin's touch on with the Newsboys together on God's Not Dead, the theme song from the movie Light in the Darkness, God's Not Dead 3. It just is so inspiring. And again, a time where it's so needed. Charles Finney would say that revival comes when it's most needed, and I'm saying, why not now?
Yeah, most needed, and if God's people will remember to pray, I think that's a real key component. That it says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will hear from heaven. Doesn't say have to be the non-Christian somehow to pray. I mean, that's not God's expectation. But it is his expectation that those who call ourselves by his name would remember. So in a needy time and a prayerful people is a two ingredients, I think, to have see the hand of God really move. I sure hope it happens.
Well, when you think about our society right now and the culture, the way it's moving, how divided it's become, it's so anti-God at every turn. And here we are, the day after Easter, as Tony Campola famously shared with us, that it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Well, your Sunday has come. And so what is different in your life as a result of what you experienced on your Friday, you know, when it looked so bleak and like nothing was going to, that everything that you thought was supposed to happen was just obliterated? and and you were at your most fearful state, you know, that Friday in your life. Well, your Sunday has come. What are you doing about it? You know, are we going to hold on to our own human pride and argue these, you know, these things that are happening in our culture today and want to argue? Or are we going to want to humble ourselves and look to God, because God has the answer? And I know that may sound simple for some people and think, oh, well, Bill, you're just, you know, you're so super spiritual. No, it's just, you know, after you live enough years in your life and you've done it your way and you realize it doesn't work that way. But when you look back and you say, wow, the times that I did humble myself, the times that I did look for God to the answers, look at the answers I got. And peace was there, even in the midst of some of the most unpeaceful moments of my life. God has a great track record if we would but trust him.
Oh, well said.
Well, here it is. We've got the third week in a row. You and I have been talking about this. We've been so excited. I think first time ever, I think in the history of the big screen, have we had three faith-based movies, one right after another, leading into Easter and going through the Easter weekend, starting with Paul, the apostle of Christ. I Can Only Imagine, which continues to astound those in Hollywood. And of course, now God's Not Dead, the third installment, A Light in the Darkness.
Yeah, Bill, when I started Focus on the Family some 26 years ago, if there was a single faith-based film in an entire year, mm-hmm. it was time to go out in the street and do a happy dance. You know, mm-hmm. like, wow, we've got one. And then we noticed that we started seeing some improvement. So even though we're, like you say, a divided nation, there's some definitely been some bright spots in Hollywood, and one of those is in the faith-based film space. And of course, it's not just for entertainment purposes. I think of the movie, the Jesus film, which Campus Crusade, now called mm-hmm. Crew, put out in 1979. Millions have come to Christ. The War Room, the Kendricks Brothers film.
Yes.
I have a testimony thumbtacked to my bulletin right here in my office where someone basically says, you know, my wife and I took out the furniture of our fourth bedroom, a room that was just a storage room. We've now made it a prayer room. We've made it a regular time. And there's been many of those type testimonies over and over. So it's done some really good. Mm-hmm. Anyways, about 3 years ago, I started noticing that there was 12 a year. Yes. The last 3 years in a row, we've had at least 12, some up to 16. Mm-hmm. That's more than one a month. I mean, I was desperately looking for the day when we could have one a month, and we're there. And then, like you said, and then this time, of course, it's historical, not mm-hmm. just to have a faith-based film in the month of March, but actually to have three back-to-back. Mm-hmm. I Can Only Imagine, Paul the Apostle of Christ, and God's Not Dead 3, just like you said. Yeah. And you know what? And they've done all pretty well. Now, yeah. God's Not Dead 3, that just came out last Friday, is number 12 most popular film in the nation, but it still made $2.6 million.
Mm-hmm.
Now, their first film, the first God's Not Dead film, went on to make 60-something million. So it may be that the people at PureFlix are not as happy as I am,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, when you have stiff competition, and quite frankly, even in the Christian film space, you have to call it what it is. It is competition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, families, some of them don't have the bucks to say, I'm going to go to all three. They look at their monthly budget and they say, I think we can do one.
Right.
And apparently they've been choosing to go to I Can Only Imagine because it's now gone on in its short 3 weeks at the theater and made a whopping $55 million.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we're familiar with the song, but it's just a well-told story. I saw on Rotten Tomatoes that the freshness rating by audience is extremely high.
Mm-hmm.
So people have really been liking that. And,
exactly.
Of course, Paul the Apostle of Christ, you can't go wrong with a film about Luke and Paul talking about biblical principles and doing it in a creative way. I thought Jim Caviezel probably steals the show on this one. It does a very good job.
Yeah, without a doubt. And the thing is that this is, you know, for people that are coming out, they're going, wow, I didn't, you know, it brought back to focus, you know, the book of Acts. and what happened, you know, post-resurrection, and that you had Christians that so believed in Jesus, and of course Paul, you know, had a direct confrontation, but you imagine all the other people that willingly were martyred, I mean, that went, you know, were impaled on stakes and lit up like Roman candles there, as they say, to lighten up the driveway to Nero's palace. You know, the things that were going on, his circus, all attacking people of faith, and amazing that that they weren't able to squash it. So the fact that, you know, Christianity lives today, even in spite of its persecutions that it has suffered through, is amazing. I mean, if you don't, if you cannot appreciate the hand of God being on a movement, like Christianity, it's like, wow, you can't see the obvious.
And when you talk about Christians being tortured, it's probably time for me just to tell our listeners, there is some of that actually seen in the movie Paul the Apostle. So you might not want to bring your 5-year-old and 7-year-old. In fact, I would recommend against it. Mm-hmm. But I definitely think around the age of 12 on up, put it this way, wherever you as a family member felt a comfort level for the Passion of the Christ movie, right, with its level of violence, you probably need to think of Paul the Apostle of Christ in that same vein, because there are some pretty, I'll call it, almost horrific moments, mm-hmm, involving torture. And we are visually exposed to that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, like you said, Bill, this happened. The church, mm-hmm, somehow survived. This was a terrible, dark time. It looked like it could have crushed Christianity completely. Who'd want to be a Christian knowing that they might have to go to the lion's den for someone's sport to watch lions attack, you know? But many, many people did become believers during that time. And here, 2018 years later, we're beneficiaries of those people of faith who stayed the course. Thank
exactly
God.
Exactly. And so here it is, for us in the 21st century to, you know, as you say, humble ourselves and pray. And that's so important, Bob, that, and I'm glad you brought that up, because we want to be so reactive, because that's the condition of the culture. The culture is very reactive right now, but we have to be counterculture. And you can't be if you're not going into your war room and seeking God's face on these issues, so that we are, you know, wise as serpents and gentle as doves.
Absolutely. And I think if all of our listeners probably would say, hey, I understand prayer is valuable. I get it. I believe that.
Right.
And it's one thing to believe it. The next thing to do is to practice it. And that's a hard leap sometimes for us. But
yeah,
I would always suggest, even if it's just 3 minutes in the car on the way to work that we just dedicate every day, you know, or 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever, it's a good starting place.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, and you'd be surprised just at the remarkable change. I mean, even when you look over the landscape of today's movies and how many Christian production companies, whether it's the Kendrick Brothers, Irwin Brothers, David A.R. White at PureFlix, I mean, they have all contributed. This is not coming out of Hollywood. This is outside of Hollywood. You talk about storming the gates of hell. That's what they've been doing. Bob Walaszewski from Focus on the Family. Robert, thank you so much. Appreciate it, buddy.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Hear that?